cliffcentral.com. Justice Malala is here. It is 12 after 7. It is time for the Burning Platform, which is brought to you by Nando's. Good morning, Mr. Malala.
Good morning, guys.
It's lovely nice to see you. We did need you to just explain the sleeping pill situation because Ben and Mabali are both curious about what happened. And I said to Justice when I saw him at a lunch yesterday, it happens to all of us. Morning radio is not for sissies. And sometimes you oversleep and sometimes you have a very busy night the night before.
Okay, guys, I wanted to be fresh, happy, or, you know, full of humor for the show, okay?
Right.
So what do? I get home, I was at some function, I start writing up, you know, the stuff we talk about, the diary, getting ready, and I think, you know what? I'm going to be up at 3 a.m., so let me take a sleeping pill just to make sure that I'm good. But this little pill was so...
So powerful
that I essentially fell asleep with my phone in my hand, my light on.
Right.
And
what time did you eventually come to?
It was 10 to 8, exactly. So there I was, scrambling around, calling Lucas. I can do something.
Here,
so,
in case you missed it, last week's Burning Platform.
I think it was a little bit louder than that.
All right, Justice, but we've got lots to talk about today, so let's get straight into it.
Sure.
Where do you want to begin? Do you want to begin with the big picture? Why the country is in so much political turmoil? The ANC. I mean, let's start there because that's what everyone's talking
about. Yeah, I mean, I just thought we should from now on the show just be clear about what we're talking about. A lot of us think that, oh, you know, we say the ANC is factionalized, the ANC is this. I don't think it's the case anymore. I think that the ANC is one force, and that force is Jacob Zuma. Mm-hmm. What Jacob Zuma has done is that he found a party, the party of Nelson Mandela, Oliver Tambo, Albert Luthuli, and he's taken it on as a T-shirt, he's put it on. And so that is the ANC. But what's inside that ANC is totally different from the ANC that we've known that has been going on and so forth. So when you look at the institutions of state, the hawks, why is Benin Klemeza still saying, oh, I'm going to work, when the courts have said once, twice, that no, guy, you can't come in. And President Zuma has quiet that, you know, this guy is defying the law and so forth. Why is SARS the mess that it is? Why is the public protector now sort of the poodle of cabinet or of President
Zuma? The NPA.
The NPA.
Every parastatal you'd like to mention.
Exactly. So what has happened here is that the good name, because let's not deny it, the fight against apartheid, the fight against colonialism, all that, the ANC has been magnificent, has been great, it had its problems, yes, but you know what? The idea of it was incredible and amazing. But that idea has now been infiltrated, and it's being run by someone and by a grouping in the ANC that just wants to feast and eat for itself. So whenever things happen now, you need to realize that it's not... You guys, I never got read those children's stories. What's the
nursery
one?
Nursery rhymes.
But that's the
you mean the fairy tales?
What's the one with the? I'll tell you now.
Don't ask me.
The one with the wolf that comes
oh,
in.
Little
Red Riding Hood. Oh, okay. That one. Yeah. So you know, in Little Red Riding Hood, I think the wolf comes along and says, "Oh, you know, I'm a nice guy," and so forth. This is what has happened to the ANC. It's the wolf. The wolf has taken the ANC T-shirt, is wearing it, and still says. But the wolf is in there, and you start seeing the big long teeth. You talk about the NPA. The NPA here. A bit of this, and now there's no doubt that the Treasury is now full on in the sights and is being taken over in the same way. So I think people need to realize that our politics are very, very different from the politics of the past 20 years. This idea that, oh, the ANC is amazing, is beautiful, and so forth.
It's dead.
It's over. It's dead.
I mean, and it's been subverted. It's like what Donald Trump did with the Republican Party. There is no real Republican Party anymore. Donald Trump used them for his purposes, and Jacob Zuma is using the ANC for his purposes. There is no ANC.
And that, I think, is something that our listeners need to start thinking about very seriously.
And because aren't you tired of hearing, Justice, all these people who say, oh, but Cyril, oh, but Zweli Mkhize, I was one of those people.
They're
going to stand up. They'll get the good ANC back. It's finished.
No, I think Cyril Ramaphosa gave a speech last night in Sandton to the Black Business Council. And he was saying all kinds of beautiful things. We will fight corruption. We will stop state capture and this and that and so forth. And what was he doing in the daytime? He was sitting there with Malusi Gigaba saying, everything is all good and so forth. Get on a jet plane and go to New York and talk to investors. Now, you can't start by saying, oh, your appointment was horrific. It was made up somewhere else and we were given the list that this is what's going to happen. We weren't even consulted and so forth. Then the next minute there you are smiling broadly. I mean,
Everything's fine.
Everything's fine. Everything's hanky-dory. It's all good and so forth. By the way, did anyone see Malusi Gigaba's suit? Man, Jesus.
Just like he was at the Durban July.
Oh, my word. That's a train smash, man.
But you know, he usually dresses quite well. It's the one thing that you would have said might have impressed some people, but now with that suit, I think he's really done himself some damage.
I know. I mean, who came up with that suit?
Yeah.
Anyway, I think it's a political signal that we have now begun our descent. Oops, that's the title of my book.
So that is let's give it a plug because it's still relevant, and this is what you predicted would happen. It's all in Justice's book, We Have Now Begun Our Descent, which is still available in good bookstores now.
Thank you. Can we have some music with that?
Claudie Motsoeneng, we spoke about him earlier, and someone said to me, please stop talking about that clown. But, you know, this guy, somehow he stays in the public imagination. Somehow, even though he, you know, we are paying, you know, the taxpayer via the SABC is still paying him some 350,000 rand a month to sit at home.
Let's not forget that this is a man who allegedly got a bonus of 11 million with another about 30 million, 20 million coming. So Saudi Mutsuneng is not to be underestimated. We have an individual here who is quite something, who is can you give me a minute?
What have you got?
I've got something in my eye.
Oh.
It's all the dust in
there. Sure. I mean, what do we do? Is
there dust?
Do we give you a tissue?
We've just got a brand new clean studio. You see, this is real. Everything that happens here is
it's
in real
time.
It's
too clean in here.
So you were saying Claudie is someone we mustn't underestimate?
Claudie is someone we mustn't underestimate because he represents everything in our society that we don't realize is creeping up on us. Claudie Motsoeneng falsified his metric. Instead of us getting rid of him, we kept him on. We raised him up. He rose up in the organization. But this is a man who's mediocre. You listen to him talk about policy, about the administration of the SABC, the place of the SABC in our democracy. He doesn't get it. He thinks that that the public broadcaster can become a little fiefdom for one or other individual. He's not there for the people who listen to, let's say, DFM or Motsoeding or all these.
No, if anything, what he did to those stations is he eviscerated them and turned them into profitless, bottomless pits that absorb money, and he's moved his own people around and lost all the talent that they used to have.
Exactly.
There's
so
nothing.
What you have now are these essentially cash guzzlers, and who pays? It's government, and he believes that those are successes. But for me, it's if a guy like Claudie Motsoeneng, with his totally, absolutely, his failure in management, his lack of knowledge, basic knowledge of all these things, basic failure to understand the broadcasting environment in South Africa and globally, it tells you something about what this country has become, that even the worst of our worst can rise up on the back of populism, on the back of political patronage, and get to the very top of our institutions. Because let's be fair here, Hlaudi Motsoeneng was just some guy struggling along, and along came Jacob Zuma, and along came Faith Mutambi, and he is now at the very top. You say we are paying 350,000 rand for him every month, and we will continue to pay because he's got political cover.
He says he can get 20 million votes. Do you believe that?
I don't believe he can get 20 million votes. I don't think our people are stupid, and I don't think we should take them for granted. However, he's the kind of man who will find himself an MP. He could find himself an MP in the backdoor manner that Brian Molefe did, or he could stand on his own as an independent. He'll probably get the 50,000 or 75,000 that he needs to become to get one seat. But here's the thing. What Hlaudi is doing is what is happening globally, where populists, where people who say, I will give. Listen to that press conference yesterday. Someone stands up and says, Hlaudi, someone who has lived poverty, has not read about it in books. Hlaudi, someone who does something for kids, he gives donations. Now, you know, this thing about, oh, there's Gareth, he's giving donations to kids. Gareth shouldn't be giving donations to kids, because we as a society should be building an economy where those kids' parents have jobs and they can put their kids through school. So we have this thing that, oh, there he is, he's so good, he's so amazing, he's giving donations. Of course, we must all give donations. But let's not forget that, you know, in Saudi's case, he's just recycling our money and taking his 30 million or whatever the bonus was and giving it to those kids. He's no angel. He's no messiah. But this is what we've become. The mediocre have risen to the top. Jacob Zuma, a man who slept with the daughter of his friend who was entrusted to him, is now the president of South Africa. This is the rot. The worst of the worst is rising to the top. And this is a reflection of the society. I mean, Das Van Rooyen. Need I say more? Yeah, and don't laugh, Mabali. You know, the Free State has given us Museveni Zizwane too.
I know we are to blame for Hlaudi. I know justice.
Museveni Zizwane.
And Museveni Zizwane.
Thank you.
And where's Faith from? She's Limpopo.
Yeah. I'm to blame.
Hlaudi is
that.
From Kwak. Yeah. Okay, guys, I'm so embarrassed.
do people there like him and know him?
No.
No, they don't know him, or no, they don't like him.
I mean, we don't talk about him on a random Saturday, no.
But he's the son. Son of the soil.
He doesn't feature in our conversations.
I think off a Sunday afternoon, you should, you know, even propose building him a statue the way the Northwest guy, Supra Mahumapelo, wants to build a statue for the president of South Africa. And it mustn't be less than 6 meters tall, please.
Now, you mentioned Cyril already. You said that he was making a hot air speech last night.
Yeah.
And this is so disappointing for someone who helped write our constitution, who Nelson Mandela wanted anointed as his successor, someone who played such a role in the unions early on. You know, a guy with a great CV like that, who had every reason to ascend to the presidency, is just disappointed. But the other candidates are also out of the starting blocks. Kosa Sana Dlamini Zuma is doing a whirlwind tour to all the places that nobody covers.
Yeah.
Which is clever, because that's where the rural vote will get her in. That's where she'll be able to convince people, oh, you know, we've got social welfare programs, we will look after you, all the stuff that you promised the poor and never have to deliver. I mentioned to Mabali and Ben this morning that the average household income in the Eastern Cape is 2,400 rand a month. According to Stats SA.
That's the average.
Average. That means that you take the richest households and you take the poorest ones and you find something in the middle. And if people are required to live on 2,400 rand a month, you better believe they're going to swallow up Kwasa Sana Dlamini Zuma's promises, because it's all they've got. Hope.
That's all they've got. And so It's interesting with Nkosazana. You're absolutely right. She's speaking in the Free State. She's speaking in the Northwest. Her campaign, there's a website. Someone pointed out to me that it was registered in Panama, but I'm not.
Wow.
I'm not sure.
You know what Panama is famous for? We don't have any extradition treaties with them.
Exactly.
So if you stole money, you could go to Panama.
You absolutely can. But the key here is that she's doing that. She's going to those constituencies which will deliver voters to the ANC conference in December. Cyril Ramaphosa last night was in Sandton speaking to the Black Business Council. The Black Business Council is people like Danisa Baloyi, people like Jimmy Manyi, and so forth. And they're very interesting. But they'll all be at conference in December in their massive posh Cayennes and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But they won't have a vote. They won't even be delegates. They'll probably have like some kind of access where they can go into meetings. But when it comes to voting, they won't be there. They won't be part of it. And so it's absolutely crucial for Cyril to start waking up and saying, am I speaking to the right people? Why isn't he in Limpopo, where President Zuma is about to fire the premier, where President Zuma faces an ANC that's totally divided? He should be speaking to those
guys. Limpopo and KwaZulu-Natal, where they've got massive, massive ructions.
Exactly.
There are schisms that are happening in the ANC. And
the
if Cyril goes to the people who've lost against Jacob Zuma and he promises them things, he could get them on his side.
Absolutely.
So for me, sitting here talking to Jimmy Manyi in Sandton. I mean, please, Jimmy Manyi needs no persuasion. Jimmy Manyi will do whatever he's told. Whoever pays him, whoever pays the piper, Bell Pottinger included.
So this is why it's becoming a very interesting race. And I think Zwelin Mkhize is becoming more interesting than even Cyril Ramaphosa. If you look at his utterances over the past few weeks, if you look at the speeches he's making, there's a campaign, and it's slow burn, but it's getting there, it's rising. He's doing interesting things in KwaZulu-Natal, where he's speaking to Senzo Mkunu, who was defeated by Sihle Zikalala. That's about 49-50% of the ANC in KwaZulu-Natal, which says Sihle Zikalala says we must support Nkosazana, and yes, they're in bed together, and President Zuma and so forth, and President Zuma's nephew, Super Zuma.
Super Zuma, what a name. I love that name. Super Zuma.
I love that.
It's like a cartoon character hero, you know?
Yes, yes. Yeah.
You know Jacob Zuma. You know Nkosazana Zuma. But do you know Super Zuma? All right, so these people are obviously contesting for position in that province, but this is an opportunity for Zweli, who's been premier there before.
Yeah. Zweli also is highly regarded by the business community. So it's no longer just, oh, Cyril is so lovely, he's a businessman.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at what happened with the firing of Nhlanhla Nene, the person who really mediated that story until Pravin Gordhan was appointed by President Zuma was Zweli Mkhize. Over the past 3 weeks, he's spoken at Gibbs, he's spoken elsewhere. He's got his own, he's issued two statements on his own. The statement on the cabinet reshuffle, the statement on the disruptions at Ahmed Kathrada's memorial in KwaZulu-Natal. And you can see that he's beginning to take charge of his image, of his messaging, of there's a team that works with him that is responsible for how he conducts his diary and very careful meetings here and there and here and there and so forth. When he stood on the same stage with Jacob Zuma about 10 days ago, they did the photo op and he hopped off and left before Jacob Zuma spoke. Essentially,
saying, this is not my guy.
This is not my guy. This is not the distance. And I think he's worth watching, because I think he's also playing the right constituencies. That KwaZulu-Natal constituency, once you break KwaZulu-Natal, Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma is not the force that many think.
And he's doing it by ANC rules. You know, you don't overtly campaign. You don't make yourself available. You don't go out there and try and blow people away with grand speeches and grand designs. He's just quietly getting on with the hard work of campaigning.
Absolutely.
All right,
absolutely.
So he is one to watch. We had him in here the other day, and he was very, very charming, and he's got a nice way about him. He's also the kind of person who's inoffensive, and I know normally that wouldn't be a compliment because you'd think that means someone doesn't have personality.
Dallas DeJota, you want to say.
But isn't that exactly what you want in an effective politician, particularly before they become president?
In a place like this where it's so fraught and the environment is so fraught.
I think personality politics are poisonous.
They're poisonous for the individual particularly. So he's doing it right. He's playing it softly. Mm. But a lot of people are talking about him. And so I think with all three, you're going to see a lot of standing on public platforms, breast beating, this, that. But it's interesting.
Let's set the record straight for those people who say that all those marches were useless. We had a very successful march last week with all the political parties. Mm. I think for a lot of people in South Africa, it gave them huge hope and courage to see Bantu Holomisa, Musiwa Lekota, Julius Malema, Musi Maimane, all of these people, the ACDP, Kenneth Meshwe, all of those people marching together.
I think the marketing campaign of that march was the guy who pitched up and said he started a party called the Shosho Loza Party.
Yes.
And I think their manifesto is singing Shosho Loza. And everyone sang along. I mean, but I think the key thing is that I've been amazed by people jumping up and down saying, oh, marches don't help. Marches are not, why are we marching? Mm-hmm. You don't do anything. Jacob Zuma will just sit there. I want to just say, guys, Mahatma Gandhi marched and India became free.
Martin Luther King marched.
Martin Luther King marched.
And the civil rights movement was taken to the top of the agenda.
Exactly. And the Jim Crow laws, all that came off. So
The French Revolution started with a march and they got the king's head off eventually.
Thank you. South Africa in the 1980s, the defiance campaign, what happened? South Africa became free in 1994. The ANC, Nelson Mandela in the 1950s, the most effective ANC campaigns in the 1950s, Nelson Mandela marching in the streets of Johannesburg.
Women getting the vote in the beginning of this last century.
Exactly.
Even the Black Sash March and the Women's March to the Union Buildings. Which entrenched women's rights as an important thing.
Which we still celebrate today.
Correct, not only in our constitution now, but even in the Freedom Charter, which was heralded in the 1960s and 70s.
So we need to just point out to people, there are many, many who've been saying, oh, wow, the DA, what did it help? Jacob Zuma is still in power. Jacob Zuma is in power, but he is feeling the heat. And this is why marching, standing up, adding your voice is absolutely, absolutely crucial. So, let's just stop that right now.
I do want to go back to Nkosi Sana Dlamini Zuma for a minute because she is the talk of the town, and anybody who writes political blogs, anyone who analyzes politics, anyone who's written books, anyone who's interested in reading the newspapers every day is talking about Nkosi Sana. And the big story of this week is something I want your opinion on. She was apparently robbed. She's in terrible danger and we need to protect her. So we have to use state resources to protect a woman who has no role in the state. Can you explain this to me?
I mean, I read the Sunday Times story and I'm still confused because we have her. She's got the presidential protection unit. You'll remember when she came back from the AU, as a courtesy, we are told, the protection services were extended to her until the end of last month. Mm-hmm. And now everyone says, oh, Nkosi Sana has got a presidential protection detail with her. What's going on? It turns out that there's a BNB which now got a lot of, advertising freely. Because Thabo Mofumahadi, now Thabo Mofumahadi is a great guy. He was the MEC for Economic Affairs in Limpopo in the past. He's a property mogul. And he's an MP as well. And he's been ANC head of economics in parliament, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. He says, oh, I was driving into this BNB in Houghton when my driver saw someone about to attack me and he drove in and the gates were closed. And oh, it was dangerous. It was dangerous. Terrible, terrible thing. So no one got hurt. Nothing happened.
Worst things happen to normal South Africans like you and me and Mabali and Ben every
day. Exactly. Now, why, if Thabo Mofumahadi was being attacked, why doesn't he get, I don't think he needs my help or the taxpayers' help in protecting himself. But why is he not getting the presidential protection detail? She's getting it. Hello? She doesn't even live there. But no, he got attacked. She gets the point. Then the other story is that, no, actually, he was kidnapped and there were six men and, you know, let's give Nkosazana protection. Why doesn't he get the protection then? Then, why exactly? Will someone? So, anyway, someone walks along. I like these reporters. They, you know, saddle up to the owner and the security guard and say, oh, that little incident you had here. What incident? There was no incident here. We don't know about the incident.
Totally made up.
Totally made up. So, basically, let's call it what it is. A crisis was invented just so that she could continue to have two cars, bodyguards, blue lights, so that she can campaign. There was no incident here. There is no record of an incident. The police have no file. So we're making it up to give someone boom,
presidential protection, which is very expensive.
At how much per day?
Yeah, and you know what? It would be fine if every citizen in the country had police protection of that level.
Exactly.
But for this one person who just happens to be the president's favorite candidate to take over after him, it's outrageous.
Someone
has got to close these taps. I don't know how these people in government think they can be spending money left, right, and center like this. We're in deficit. SARS are warning that we're not going to bring in the money we used to.
There's a word for it. It's called corruption.
Yes.
That's the word for it. You can't do this. This is taxpayers' money. But we've clearly reached a stage where it's become a fiefdom. It's, no, my relative, my candidate needs, you know, everyone else. I've got presidential protection. My wives have presidential protection. Oops, she will have presidential protection too. Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma tells us a lot about her own candidacy when she accepts these sorts of things. Because, well, it's elect me and let me become ANC president and president in 2019.
And
what do you have?
I'll carry on the network of patronage.
Exactly.
I'll make sure that I have presidential protection and everything else, and you just carry on suffering in the corner. Now, what about Malusi Gigaba? When we're talking about money, he's the new finance minister. He's off to America to woo investors, to tell them how great everything is. He may be an impressive person. I want to give credit where it might be due in terms of his ability to charm and sway and convince. Maybe he's the best at it. Who knows? I've never been in a room where Malusi Gigaba gave a speech, and I can't say that I was moved or unmoved by the things I have heard about him before. But there is no way, right, Justice, that this guy could be more well-versed in the world economy, in financial movement, in resources and currencies and trade than Pravin Gordhan. And he's going over to take over where Pravin left off in terms of persuading people that South Africa is still a good place to put your money. How do we feel about this?
We're playing that song, Going to America.
That's James Brown.
Is that James Brown?
I think it's Coming to America. Yeah, let me find it for you. I love that song.
Living in America?
Living in America.
Thank you very much. Ben, thank you.
That's what happens when you watch Rocky movies, Justice.
That's right, James Brown. Yeah. Living in America. All right, so tell us what's going to happen.
Yeah, so Malusi Gigaba. You see, guys, when Pravin Gordhan was fired, something much bigger broke. You'll remember that last year, after Nhlanhla Nene was fired, President Zuma invited, the CEO said, we need a meeting. You know, what's happened here is outrageous, it's terrible, and so forth. So 100 CEOs fly to Cape Town. You couldn't land your private jet, Mabali. I know you know,
it was a tough day that day when I couldn't land my private jet.
It was terrible.
It was annoying.
Because 100 CEOs have come to me, the president, the deputy president, the finance minister. They have this big da-da-da, and they say, guys, we've got a problem.
Yeah.
Yes, you're right. Confidence knocked out of the system. Let's go out there and meet people. So Pravin and Jabu Mabuza and all these top business people get on a jet plane, boom, go to New York, London, Boston, and say, guys, yes, something bad happened here, but we are together. We're working this thing. So 2 Mondays ago, when President Zuma told a junior official in his office to call an official at Treasury and tell them that Pravin must come back right this minute, it was such a slap in the face of these business people who, of their own volition, took time off to go with Pravin to present to these business people. Massive delegation of South African business people, Treasury officials, and so forth. They then, when Pravin had to come back, they are left with egg on their face. They have to stand there and say, no, everything's okay. And those guys across are saying, but not everything's okay. The finance minister has just been recalled. I'm reading here and I'm listening to Cliff Central on my app, and it says he's about to be fired. And lo and behold, midnight the Thursday, they are fired. So what has been broken is confidence. And Malusi Gigaba, in my view, needed to start rebuilding that confidence.
Mm-hmm.
But he hasn't done that. What he has done is that he says, I, Superman, I'm going to tell those investors, I'm going to tell the ratings agencies that I'm the man. I'm going to fix this all on my own. And boom, it will be hunky-dory. That's the problem here. The people who were the labor leaders, remember that Pravin went with labor leaders, business leaders. That triumvirate is what ensured that last year we were not downgraded. Those guys said, we think that there is renewed resolve in South Africa to fix the problems that are there. Now, a guy in a check suit pitches up and says, no, I'm going to fix this. Radical economic transformation is the one that's going to happen. So we have a fundamental problem here. No one in South Africa, in the business community here, these are called domestic investors. People think, when we talk about investors, they're going to come on like the land from Mars. No, investors are Mabale saying, I'm going to open my shop on the corner. But if she starts saying, I won't open my shop because I'll be robbed, that's a domestic investor saying, I'm keeping my money at the bank and it will make whatever, 8%, 7% interest,
mm-hmm.
instead of putting it to work at the corner shop. So the domestic investors are saying, we have no faith in this guy. He's going off. If he hasn't even tried to convince his domestic investors, he's going off to speak to foreign investors.
And then he has an advisor, a guy called Chris Malekan, who is a professor, I'm led to believe.
Yes, he is at Wits.
And he is someone who has very interesting ideas about how the world economy works and what kind of thing we should be doing in South Africa to make the economy grow. He says nationalization is a great policy to follow.
Now,
something even Julius has stopped talking about.
I have to tell you, if you follow the EFF or COSATU, now Chris is an interesting guy. And when COSATU holds its central executive committee, he's the man they call to come and give an input on the economy. When the EFF in the past has held its meetings, for example, in its preparatory meetings to launch the EFF, who gave this their input? It's Chris Malekane. So it's not like, for many of us, it's like that's who Chris is. That's his stance. He's unapologetic. He's always been there. So when the finance minister appoints him, that he didn't know that these are Chris's views, I'm shocked and surprised. He should have known, and he should have signaled that this is what I'm saying.
And at a moment where already confidence is as low as it is, you've said it's been shattered. You've got a minister who has no track record. He hasn't got much experience in financial economic affairs. And he appoints this guy who talks about nationalization. There is not an investor in the universe who's going to even listen to Malusi Gigaba in New York.
Exactly. So
it's a waste of our money. We could take the 100,000 rand his first class ticket is going to cost, and we could put that into a business here, and
he
it would do more.
He shot himself in the foot. Now, you know, I know Chris Madikane, and I know exactly what Chris stands for. Everyone in government knows. Everyone in the ANC. When the Setai Patat Alliance meeting, the COSATU guys always pitch up with Prophet. Chris Malikane used to be the economic advisor to COSATU. He's the guy who prepares the COSATU position. Then the Communist Party arrives and the ANC arrives. And the Communist Party says, you failed. And the COSATU says, you failed. And the ANC says, oh, we're doing okay. And so to appoint Chris without due care of this is what he shouldn't have been surprised by the storm that's happened.
It's like you want to put 100 rand away so that it will grow, and you give it to someone who you know spends money and doesn't know anything about how to grow it.
You know, so it will be interesting. I look forward to hearing what he has to say. But quite frankly, it hasn't been a great start. Maybe it'll get better. Let's hope it gets better.
All right, Justice, thank you very much. That's the burning platform for today on cliffcentral.com. Justice Malala will return next week, same time, same place. Oh, no, hang on. Next week is a public holiday. We're not doing next week.
Yes, freedom.
Yeah. It's freedom. Yeah, so no burning platform. The week after, we'll have Justice back with another look. And by then, there'll be even more controversy to talk about. You know how it goes. So make sure you don't miss that. The burning platform, as always, powered by Nando's. And in case you're a little hungry this morning, then that's the place to go and check out, because you know that Nando's is who makes better chicken in the world? And look at how well it's doing all over the world. Started here in South Africa. Nando's actually I think they've got a birthday coming up this year. They've got a big birthday that they're celebrating, and we'll be celebrating it with them. So we'll tell you more about that as we get closer to the time of the birthday. I think it's sort of 20, August.
20 years?
20 years.
Sorry, 30 years.
Is it 20 or 30? That's why I wasn't
30.
Sure.
It's the big 30.
All right, big 30. So all of that happening with Nando's. And don't forget the burning platform every week. You can always catch up on podcasts you might have missed from last week. Or any of the others, you can go and get them at cliffcentral.com.
Cliffcentral.com.